This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Basically, what had happened after this is that Shayyari will be the top after this, and then the Azan will come on, and you will all go out and pray, and then about 15 hours, we'll all come back down again, and then we'll talk of what is going to be happening when we will begin. Okay? I do that for the reason I sent to Shayyari.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Always and forever, we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send our prayers of peace upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we testify with full firmness and conviction that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. Ahibati fiddah, those whom we love for our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is always a pleasure and an honor to join with my sisters here in the city of Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia in speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no greater honor for me, and inshallah no greater honor for you, than to be from those who gather for no other reason than the word of Allah azza wa jalla. And in emulation and modality and love of the tradition and the path of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the greatest honor and aspiration that we have in our life. Today's topic is an interesting topic. Because if read the wrong way, it implies that we do not have happiness and we're looking for it. This is not the case. My wife, as I was leaving, she said, when you come home, you got to give me this lecture again. I said, why? Are you not happy? She said, no, I'm happy. I'm sure all the women over there are happy too. I said, oh, and actually, I began to write the notes, so I actually SMSed it to her, and I posted it on my Facebook and Twitter page, so you can actually just click on the image now, so you don't have to write every single point. All 20 points are there. We're going to talk about 20 life lessons. And these life lessons are things that I have, you know, although I just wrote them quickly, they are things that are grounded in the sunnah and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're going to go through all of them, inshallah, in the next hour or so that we spend tonight. We're going to break for Salatul Isha. Jama'a prayer and continue our mustahab lessons of knowledge about Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number one, how to find happiness, how to keep happiness, how to appreciate happiness. Now those are three separate things: find it, keep it, and appreciate it. Find it, keep it, and appreciate it. Many of us, we can find happiness, and then we do the wrong things that ruin it. Or, we find it, we keep it, and then we neglect it. We don't appreciate having it. We assume it will always be there, and when it's gone, we find sorrow, and we regret that we didn't. The first step, and the first point, is trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and faith, qadr. Of all of the questions that I get sent, and of all of the comments that I receive, and of all of the questions that I get asked, one of the greatest themes that comes across in particular from Muslim sisters is, why me? How come I cannot have, or how come I had but lost? And it could relate to a husband, it could relate to children, not being able to produce them, many things. Finding happiness now that I'm married, I thought I would be happy, I'm not happy. All these kind of comments come. Why? First important point is our trust. I must emphasize to you that belief in Qadr is from the six pillars of Iman. Just as you believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and the Day of Judgment, you must also believe in Al-Qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi. It's good that comes to you, and what you perceive as bad, the hardship that it entails. Qadr will react to you in three ways. There are three things that happen in your life. Things that happen in you. As you're sitting now, some of your cells, biologically, are mutating, altering. Some of them become cancerous. Every single one of us. Some of us are able to get rid of these cancerous cells. Others, due to variety of reasons, are not. And in 1 year or two or three, systematically, for many of us, out of the numbers of people here, due to our qadr, there will be some of us sitting here today, who will be tested with an illness. Undoubtedly. It will happen. And you have no control over it. In fact, some of the children, all of our children, are born with propensities to particular illnesses and genetic illnesses that is put in their bloodline, cannot change it. They are born, you and I were born, with certain susceptibilities, qadr. Two, there are things that happen to you, not in you, but to you. As you're sitting here, something might fall on you, you might trip. You didn't do anything wrong. You're sitting in a red light, a car hits you from the back. It's qadr. You have no ability to stop it, prevent it, or change it. You did not do anything negligent or wrong to bring it on. It happened. And third is how you react to the first two. This is what you're accountable for. When we talk about free will, none of us are free. In that sense, in the sense of the first two, no one has freedom to choose when they are born, who their parents will be, how they will be raised, what kind of income level they will be raised in. None of these big decisions in life, big matters in life, are in our control. They happen to us. And in our life, there will be things that will befall us. But how you react to those two is now your responsibility. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you believe in al-qadr, it means that if you are sitting there and nothing wrong in your life befalls you, submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and react in the way He asked. You got married to someone you loved. You thought everything was wonderful. A year goes by, 2 years go by, he falls ill. You find yourself widowed. You find your children without a father. Qadr. You cannot change it. You submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now becomes the moment where your trust in Allah begins. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are all belonging to Allah, to Him we return. قدر الله وما شاء فعل. Allah estimated this is something I should bear. And what He did, was by His will subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can change it. You submit to the will of Allah. People can be of two types. Why me? How come me? How come this disaster befalls me? Or, Ya Allah, assist me in the journey that remains in my life. Ya Allah, protect the children. Ya Allah, protect my name. Ya Allah, give me better than what I have. Trust and belief in Allah is a foundation of happiness. Is that the adhan? We will pause for the adhan, inshaAllah, for the adhan of Isha. I'm not sure if we will hear it. But if we hear it, we will stop, inshaAllah. The second statement, or the second principle, of finding, keeping, and appreciating happiness is master the fundamentals. Be a master of the fundamentals of your life. What are the fundamentals of your life? What's the first fundamental? The thing that everything else is built on. Salah. You have to be a master of it. See, what happens to people is that we assume salah is important. Yes, it's important. But yeah, I mean, how important is it? Sometimes I miss the prayer. Yeah, it's okay, I'll make it up.
Is there? Is there?
Yes. Is it hurt?
Yes.
Okay. We'll pause for it, inshallah. I'm actually not able to make out what he's saying. That's why I didn't stop. Which is silly. Okay? So after the adhan, we'll continue for another 5 minutes, inshallah. Then I will beg your pardon. I will join the jama'ah. Those of you who are able to join us, please join us. Don't pray your sunnah, inshallah. If Allah asks you, you say, Shaykh Yahya said. But come down for the talk and we will continue, inshallah. We continue, inshallah. Number two, point number two is master the fundamentals of life. There are certain fundamentals that become necessary for us to master. Things like salah, things like ibadah, things like recitation of the Quran, and things like dhikr and tasbih, the dhikr of the morning, the dhikr of the evening. Say, Brother Yahya, these are things that are going to make me happy. The heart, your qalb, your heart will never. Wallahi, by Allah, who there is no God or deity worthy of worship but He. By Allah who created the sun and the moon and the stars and you and us. You will never find peace and tranquility except in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look for it and find something that you think is peace and tranquility, it will never last. It will never last. Yes, you might enjoy yourself watching a movie, alhamdulillah, and then it comes to an end. And the time spent is over. But the reverberation of that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lasts, remains. It has a taste in the mouth. The Prophet ﷺ says, and the hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, ذَاقَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. The person tastes the sweetness of faith. What is the taste of it? What are some of the things? One of them, is that a person would rather be killed and thrown in fire than to become a non-Muslim. That person, that's the iman that results from that surety of faith. Dhikr, the heart. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. The heart cannot become still and quiet and tranquil and last in that except in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I use the word remembrance of Allah, I mean anything that reminds you of the day you will stand in front of Allah. It could be silence. It could be the Qur'an, something you read in the Qur'an. It could be a talk or a lecture. It could be a sisterly talk with your friend. It could be the pain that you receive after making a mistake. It reminds you of Allah. Why did I do that? I will never do that again. And all of a sudden you say, I did that, I move away from it now. All of a sudden you find that peace. You recognize the error and you moved away from it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr. So those are fundamentals that need to be mastered. The head of them is the salah. When the muaddin says, Hayya ala salah, the answer is, I will come alive in prayer. What does the muaddin say? What was he saying? Hayya, hayya, life. Hayya ala salah. Come to life. How? How did your soul come alive? What's the difference between the soul that prays and the soul that does not? It's the difference of life and death. These are the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who gives remembrance to Allah means pray. مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ means make salah to Allah. Compared to the one who doesn't, it's like the living to the dead. You have to be a master of this. Your heart must wake up before your eyes wake up. You know that you have become mudawim ala salat, consistent in prayer. When fajr comes, before your phone rings, before your eyes open, your heart is awake. It's time for prayer. You anticipate your phone buzzing, your clock going. You anticipate the time for the salah. And therefore your heart is alive even though your body is asleep. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Come alive to prayer, come alive to the remembrance of Allah. We will break here, we will continue with point number 3 to 20 after Salat al-Isha, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, and I will see you shortly, bi idhnillahi ta'ala.
For those who are yet to write and think about what's going on, we are willing to join the draw on it and then we'll come back again after later. I will inform again when the material is become clear for the next batch to be Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه محمد بن عبد الله عليه افضل الصلاه واتم التسليم. الحمد لله. I pray that Allah سبحانه وتعالى accept our salah and accept our time together as sure ibadah of Him سبحانه وتعالى. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our gathering a gathering of rahmat and a gathering of mercy. We're going to continue, inshallah, with our discussions. And I know that some of our sisters are just joining us after Salatul Isha. One of the sunnahs that we learned from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not to sit in the seat of someone else. So keep that in mind, inshallah. You don't want to have any trouble. We continue with the third point, which we said we wanted to master the fundamentals. And I began by speaking about ibadah. But mastering the fundamentals is also a necessity in anything you do in your life. Whether you're studying math, whether it's cooking, whether it's whatever you're doing, whether it's driving, you have to first begin with what is fundamental. One of the top basketball players in the past in the world was Michael Jordan. I'm hoping you heard of him. All right. Now, Michael Jordan, he said this one amazing thing. He said, if you shoot and practice 10 hours a day shooting, but you didn't learn how to do it correctly, you've just taught yourself the wrong thing. So now you have to practice how to unlearn it and then practice how to relearn it. So the fundamentals, the basic blocks, are the things that you must stress. And therefore you see salah is repetitive. Siyam is repetitive. Zakah is repetitive. Its intent is also collective. It's not done individually. It's done together. Because the fundamentals of your life, you need support in them. And you need people to hold your hand through them. So focus on the fundamentals of anything in your life. Whether it's how to tie a scarf. You know, my wife, she's experimenting with new ways to tie the scarf. I know sisters are very inventive. YouTube is full of videos on how to tie a scarf. Right? There's the Arabi way, the Egyptian way, the Jordanian way, the Malay way. Lots of ways, right? But the fundamental is what? That your hair is covered. Your ears are covered. Part of your chin is covered. Your neck is covered. Any way now you want to get fancy, get fancy. But the fundamental is what you must master. Point number three is learn from your parents' life. Point number three, in finding happiness yourself, learn from your parents. I don't mean the good things only. Your parents were there as an example for you in good and not good. We don't want to say bad. There's some parents in the audience. In good and not so good. Don't look to your mom now. Leave your mom alone. There's things, alhamdulillah, you're going to learn. Good. But there's also other things that you need to learn not to do. And not to accept for yourself. There are certain things that you see that you must say, this is something I want to avoid. I want to maybe raise my children differently. I want to deal with my husband differently. I want to be employed differently. I want to dress differently. I want to do this differently. I want to make peace with family members who I haven't spoken to peacefully. Some questions that I received, it says, my mother and her sister are fighting. Can I still talk to my aunt? Because she's my mother, I have to listen to my mother. But I love my aunt. Because they're fighting, do I have to fight with them? I know. You have to learn from your parents' mistakes. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says to his father, Ya Abati, my father. The word Abati in Arabic is not just my father. It's my father who I love. My father who I respect. My father who I'm not rebelling against, who I'm not arguing with. Ya Abad, you are the one who brought me to this life. I acknowledge you're the one whose favor is on me. You are the one who was up when I was sick, who fed me instead of himself. You're the one who carried me, taught me to walk, taught me to talk, taught me everything. I know, Ya Abad. But, قَدْ جَاءَنِ مِنَرْعِينَ, I've learned something you don't know. You are able to learn what your parents don't know. You are able to study what your parents might not have studied. You have been given opportunities your parents might not have been given. It is not your life to live their life. It is your life to live the life Allah wishes for you. Not in rebellion, but in choosing the good and keeping it. And in learning from the things that were not perfect to avoid them. So you have to learn from your parents' life. Now I want you to understand the wonderfulness of your father and mother, even if they are unbelievers. You say, I don't understand, believer. I want you to understand the makan, the place, the station that your father and your mother, even if they are not just unbelievers, but unbelievers who are making jihad against you, to become an unbeliever. How should you treat them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ, and if they were to fight and exert all energy, if they were to make every form of jihad with their money, with their authority, with their power, with their influence, with their body, if they were to do everything, عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي, to force you and compel you to disbelieve in me, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, don't believe them, don't disbelieve in Allah. And then Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا بِالدُّنْيَا مَعْرِفَةً, be their sahabi in the dunya. You know what that means? Your father and your mother could be a mushrik fighting against you. You have to be Abu Bakr to them. You have to be like Umar and Uthman and Ali, a sahabi to them. So how is it if they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is it if they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? صَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. This third statement is not rebellion against those who taught us and raised us. لا. It's insightfulness. And it is the way of our Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Number four, practice Islam every day. You say, but I'm a Muslim, brother. I'm a Muslim. I'm practicing Islam. No, there's a difference. Islam, my dear sister, it is to give yourself willfully, intentionally, voluntarily to the will of Allah, hoping to attain peace and comfort in your heart and with those you live amongst. And it takes practice. You have to work at it. Submitting yourself to Allah, saying, Ya Allah, I will obey. Ya Allah, I will lead this. Ya Allah, I will do this. Ya Allah, I will be honored by this. Ya Allah, I will step back from this. Ya Allah, I will make this decision. It takes practice and determination to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you must practice it. You must will yourself to submit to the Creator, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So practicing Islam takes root in your heart. Islam begins in the heart. It is that your heart becomes settled at happiness of knowing that the directions I choose in life, I'm not choosing them haphazardly or out of desire and emotion. I'm not living the dunya because I'm going to live once. There's no YOLO. Right? No YOLO. You don't only live once. You're directing in your life. You're living life, but there is someone in command. Someone who says, turn, stop, return, repent, move back, move forward. Be with them. Stay away from them. Honor them. Leave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number five, aim is important. The key now becomes, you want me to practice Islam, brother Yahya, you want me to focus on fundamentals, brother Yahya, you want me, you want me, you want me. This is how I'm going to be happy in the long run. This is what's going to keep me happy. This is what's going to keep me appreciating the happiness I have. How do I know what to do? Ilm, knowledge. You cannot be a Muslim who is successful without ilm. See, there's a difference, my dear sisters, in Islam between a Muslim and a good Muslim. Right? There's a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, lots of Muslims. But then there's a good Muslim. And between a Muslim and a good Muslim is like heaven and earth. And there's a difference between being a good Muslim and a great Muslim. is also heaven and earth. Big difference. There's a big difference between someone who can stand up at night and pray to Allah, even if it's 2 rak'ah, and someone who snores until Fajr. There's a difference between someone who waits for Fajr and someone who doesn't wait for Fajr and says Astaghfirullah and prays when the sun is up. Huge difference. There's Muslim, then there's good Muslim, then there's great Muslim, and there's Islam, and Iman, and Ihsan. The one who reaches that is the one who knows what to do. And that knowledge translates into taqwa, piety, in their heart. And therefore Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ. Those who fear Allah due to reason. The word khashya, it's not إِنَّمَا يَخَافُ اللَّهَ. Not those who are afraid of Allah. No. يَخْشَ. يَخْشَ means that they know why they should be afraid. That's important. It's not, I was saying earlier, some people are scared of the dark. There's no reason to be scared of the dark. But I'm afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. It's illogical to be afraid of the dark. But it's fear. Khashya is that you know why to be afraid. There is something to be afraid of. And you understand it and then you are fearful. It's not illogical, it's logical. That is khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى. They understand why. They understand what happens to the one who misses Fajr. They know what is the reward of the one who stands at night to Allah. They know what is the benefit of a dhikr and a tasbih and an istighfar. يَخْشَى. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know why they should fear Him. مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. From those servants of His who are ulama. The word ulama here, it doesn't mean mufti. Ulama here is as al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said. They said, مَنْ هُمْ مِنْ عُلَمَاء. Who is the ulama meant in this ayah? MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Who are the ulama? He said, al-alim man 'amila bima ya'lam. The ulama in this ayah, the scholar, the learning, is the one who does by what he knows. You learn something, so you put it into practice. And therefore, al-ilm is important. It's the key. Number 6, for happiness. We're now going to get into the controversial stuff. Don't let people get into your head. Don't let people mess with you. Don't let people's words or actions or behavior influence your words, your actions, your behavior. One of the manifestations of extremism is what? That people who take Islam to extremism. You killed us. I'm going to kill you. Nah. You drone in Yemen, I'm going to kill you in Kenya. Nah. A Muslim's reaction is not based on what happened to him. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not react based on what people did. He acted based on what Allah ordered and what Allah sanctioned. And what Allah permitted. In the same way, someone spoke bad of you, don't speak bad of them. Someone made you feel uncomfortable, don't make them feel uncomfortable. I'll get her back. Wait until she's on my side of the city. Wait till she's in Ampan. She thought she was in Bangsa. Wait till she comes my side. I'm going to show her at my mansion. Ah, different life over here. No. She cut you off, you join her. She hurt you, please her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our Nabi. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what can I do? I want to get to Jannah. He said, Sul man qata'ak. The one who cut you off, the one who you were friends with, and they broke away from you, you connect them. You go to them. But they're the ones who go to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَ. The one who dishonored you, hurt you, oppressed you, wronged you. I should kill him. Sister says, I got revenge, now I have reason to do what I want. No. فَعَفُوا. Forgive. Say, but Brother Yahya, if I forgive, they got away with it. His sisters are scary people. To be scared. I'm scared today. Too many sisters, mashallah. The wife of the woman who looked after Yusuf alayhi salam. When the other women in the city, they heard, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. The wife of the prince, she's chasing her little servant boy around the house. Ah, look what she's doing. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّهُ. He drove her mad with love. She said, oh, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Come here. She invited them to her home. She planned revenge. Plotted. كَيْدَ كُنَّ. Plot. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا. She gives everyone a knife and some food. وَقَالَ تُخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Come here, you show them yourself. Show them why I went crazy. I'm going to make them crazy like me. قَطْوَعْنَ أَيْدِهُمْ. They cut their hands, slice their hands off. مَا هَذَا بَعْ. He's not human, he's an angel. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَى مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. I have to show them that they are not higher than me. Even though she should be embarrassed of herself. Right? She's wrong. Her husband found out. That now the city is talking. She goes, I don't care. As long as I'm going to show them why. Now, the believer is different. The mu'mina is different. The mu'mina doesn't think she got away with it. No, the mu'mina says, Allah is watching. Because they have trust in Allah. They believe in faith. Allah is watching. Ya Allah, hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Ya Allah, I was wrong. I leave it with Allah. Hasbi Allah. Allah is enough for me. Allahu Akbar. How many times did Muhammad ﷺ say hasbi Allah instead of saying to the angel of the mountains, destroy the city? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't let people get into your head. Don't react to people's actions. Don't sink to people's level. Don't worry about those who don't pay your rent. Some? Yes, yeah.
I'm sorry, because we have some guys.
Sorry, guys, but I have a request from the guys outside that sometimes I'm walking away, so over the cost, please move back. WH185001, PAK9639, WDK7536, and WW552.
Don't be ashamed. I know you are all. It's okay, we know you're going to the bathroom, no problem.
Brothers, you might ask them questions. If you want them to move your car for you, they can keep your keys.
MashaAllah.
And then they will
give
up. Yeah, I'll open this and work
Alright? So don't let people influence how you act and react. Don't let a comment from someone about, for example, your children or your husband make you, one of the things that, and it's abuse of our children. You go somewhere and you expect your children to behave extra special. So before you get out of the car, you pull over and say, listen, these people, don't let them talk about me by what you're going to do. So your poor little four-year-old, five-year-old, he's sitting. And he can. He cannot. He's 4 years old. And when is that? You look at him. Then you raise your voice. Haram. Right? Why are you doing it? Because you're worried what others will say. Now, I'm not telling you spoil your children. But don't expect just for someone else that miracles happen and that everyone changes on account of other people's words or comments. Don't change your attire because someone critiqued it. Change it for Allah. It might be someone say, oh sister, I could see your, you know, this was too tight. No! Change it for Allah, not what other people's comments are, you consider it hurtful. Everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sorry.
One more.
WQY9551.
Number 7. Know how to respond to failure. And all of us, my dear sisters in Islam, we're going to fail at something. And none of us will ever be happy in everything. And no one in life was ever given balance in everything. It's a mission in progress. So you might be successful outside your home and miserable in the home. And you might make it look like you're happy at home to others outside, but you are hating the environment you are in. How do you respond to failure? How do you make a position of distress becomes a position of success? It takes three important qualities. First, don't be blind to what is apparent. Don't pretend nothing's wrong. If something's wrong, it's wrong. Recognize the mistake. Don't be blind to the mistake. They say love is blind. Don't be in love. That makes you blind. Be in love that can make you see. Right? That you see. There's reason. So the first, look. See, basira. Open your eyes to what is around you. Open your ears to what people tell you. Listen to what is happening. Look around you to the situation. Second, be decisive. إِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. What should be done? What is the right decision to be made? Take advice. What should I do? Understand the situation. Understand the problem. Make note of it. And be decisive. If it's divorce, it's divorce. If it's counseling, it's counseling. If it's change my kid's school, change my kid's school. If it's move from a suburb, move from a suburb. If it is be friends or not be friends with someone, make the decision. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Put your trust and meaning, take the decision for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, don't make it about yourself only. Don't say, sometimes, you know, my wife, she's not here, it's okay. We're making a decision. And she goes, but this is going to do this to my schooling or my... Or, and I'll say, no, this is going to do... If you make the decision, and it's only unilateral, it's only going to serve one side, it's only going to serve you, then the failure is just shifting to another failure. You're not actually curing the failure. You have to make a decision that is something that is going to be equitable and just and fair to all those who are representative of it, inshallah. So know how to respond to failure. Look around you, be decisive, and don't do it for yourself. Don't be self-centered. Take note of the situation, make a decision with shura, and don't do it just for yourself, but do it for the interest of all involved. Number 8, fear is an illusion. People are afraid, you know, we were talking about people afraid of the dark, because in their mind they think something is there. My daughter, we were in the pool this morning, and she goes, and you know, she's learning to swim, alhamdulillah. She says, Baba, there's no fish? I said, there's no fish. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. She goes, how do you know? I said, I look. She goes, Baba, I feel this fish. You know when you're swimming over something, you look around, like Jaws of waiting in the right? It's an illusion. Fear is not something you should be afraid of. It's strange to say that. Fear, you shouldn't fear it. Musa alayhi salam, we're going to study in Tafsir Surah Taha on the weekend, inshaAllah. Allah says to him four times, La taqaf, don't be scared of Musa. Why are you scared? You know, Musa was this giant of a man. He wasn't Talil, he wasn't just tall, he was Tuwad. He was double tall. Like he was tall, tall. You'd say, wow, that's tall. No, no, that's tall, tall. Tuwad. He hit a man with one strike, he killed him. And yet, he's scared. Every moment Allah says, La taqaf. Inni ma'akuma, I'm going to be with you in Harun. Don't be, why are you scared? You're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be scared, ya Musa. But fear is natural in you. Fear that hinders you from changing failure, from making a decision, from going out to do what's right, from helping others. Fear that restricts you from life is unacceptable. And therefore, you have to push yourself through those boundaries of fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Qur'an to always not be fearful of the dunya or those in the dunya. أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ Are you scared of them? وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْنَ Don't be afraid of anyone. Don't be afraid of anything. Only be fearful of the Almighty, the Merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 9. I hope 19 doesn't sue us. Just do it. Get out there and do it. I want to learn Qur'an. Do it. But how? Ya akhi, open the Qur'an and practice. Do it. Shaykh, make dua that, you know, I begin to pray. I have qibla this way. Pray. No, make dua. Allah's going to help me pray. Ya akhi, qibla is this way. Here's the jab. Go. You know how to make wudu? Yes. Do it. Just do it. This is one of the secrets of happiness and success. That a person feels within themselves that they can do it. And the first thing taught to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he can do it. When the wahy came, Iqra was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very doubtful. He ran to Khadija, cover me. What's the ayah that was revealed? Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum ba'anthu. Oh, you covered up, stand up, go tell people what to do. Allahu Akbar. A command, straight away, but I just received the wahi. Really, I can do it? Yes! Come! Stand up! Do it! Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have that desire to bring people and bring yourself closer to Allah. Have that desire and that ability that I can do it. I can accomplish what I want. In every facet of life, never be hindered by the fear, which is illusionary. It's not fear that will hold you back. It is your own will power that will hold you back. The fear, the thing you fear will not happen. But you thinking it will happen is what is holding you back from that success and what could bring you a great deal of happiness. Consider the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's marriage to Khadija. In Arabic society, it was strange. Yani Khadija asked the Prophet ﷺ, I want to marry you. Allahu Akbar. This was something. She's an older woman, she already had children. She had two husbands before who had passed away and one killed in battle. And Muhammad ﷺ was 25, she was older. I like him. He is the right man. Why? He's honest, he's trustworthy, he's handsome, he's this. I don't care what people are going to say. Even if he said no, I don't care. I'm going to ask. Just do it. Khadija radiallahu anha wa arbaha. Number 10. We just said just do it. Number 10 is you can't do it alone. Just do it, but you can't do it alone. You need help. You need that support. You need to surround yourself with people who are like-minded, who have initiative, who have desire, who have happiness in their life. We're going to talk about math. If I give you 1 million positive, and I ask you to multiply it by negative one, you have 1 million positive, and you multiply it by just one negative, that equal sign will bring you, has to be negative. Even if it's 1 million positive, just one negative multiplied into it makes everything negative. Cannot be. You cannot have the equation being positive at the end. So therefore you need people who will be positive, who will be energetic, who will be loving to Allah. Even if you say, oh, I alhamdulillah, I am strong in Iman. But you have that one person who is consistently and constantly and willingly and ultimately seeking to bring you away from Allah, you will find yourself eroding in that strength of Iman that you thought you would always keep. Just do it. But you need people to do it with. People to help you accomplish your goals and your aims and your dreams in all of the facets of your life. Number 11, excellence speaks for itself. You know, sometimes we say, oh, you know, I have these ideas, I want to. Excellence is what really matters. It's what represents itself. It's not the secondary talk, it's not the things around it, it's not the things that are preparing for it. Excellence is what you see to represent who you are. And therefore, you know, we have in America, in Canada, we say, you have to walk the walk, not just talk. Let's talk. You gotta walk it. You gotta prove yourself. You want to be a good mother. Show it. If not, I plan and I inshallah, and no. Work towards it. Show that excellence in everything you do. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man hamma bi amr, anyone who's gonna do anything, فَلْيُقِيمُ, let him prepare for it with excellence. Let him see to make it perfect. Your aim in life is not just to half-bake and to do it halfway. Your aim is to see the mission through, to fulfill the aim, to arrive at completion, at perfection in whatever it is that you seek. Number 12, just do it, have the right people to do it with, seek excellence, and believe that your dua will be answered. Because as hard as you work, and as much excellence as you seek, and as strong as the team you build, and as strong as the family you have, and as much initiative as you want, تُرِيد وَاللَّهُ لَا يُرِيد. You want, but Allah doesn't want. وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. And Allah will do what He wants. So now you have dua. الدُّعَى سُلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. It is the weapon of a believer. It is the strength of a believer. Yes, I saw you there.
Another card, L-10-F-2052. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum.
So your dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what will assist you in attaining the excellence you seek and the team that you're building and the desire to fulfill the aims that you have in your life. To turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have no one is honor. But to turn to Allah when you have others around you is trust in Allah. See, sometimes when everything is happy in our life, we forget that we still need Allah. So Allah then takes away those who we are relying on instead of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think you have a job and an income and alhamdulillah, money in the bank and everything is going smooth. Just in Perth, there was a brother, someone I know, He's an engineer, mashallah. He had a good job, alhamdulillah. The economy of Perth, although strong, there's, you know, a little bit of shift in the market. And the brother has money saved in the bank, and they were renting a home, a nice home in a nice area with a nice car. And he lost his job, and he was on contract. He said, I'll find a job soon, alhamdulillah, no problem. His wife is a stay-at-home mom. He has three children in Islamic school. And for 1 month, 2 months, he's living off his savings. So he's paying rent, $2,000 a month. They had $10,000, $15,000 in savings. Oh, we still have some time. 2 months, 3 months go by, and there's no income. Okay, let's move from this nice house to a smaller house. When he gave the letter that he's leaving the home, he thought, I will find another home easy to rent. But because he had three or four children, every time he goes to apply for a house, there's someone who has one or two children, or someone whose name is not, you know, Ahmed Muhammad. It could be, you know, Yahya Ibrahim or John Abraham. I'm going to take John Abraham. It's the same guy, same name. John Abraham or Yahya Ibrahim? No, we don't like this Yahya. I don't know what this is. I'm going to take John. So they accepted other people's application. All of a sudden, let's move into a hotel. This is a person who had a good job. He's living in a hotel. His family's in a hotel. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He doesn't want to ask for help because he's a person who's always, alhamdulillah, been self-sufficient. The money in the bank is dwindling. What happens? This is can happen to anyone. You think I have stability. Allah tests you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. You think you're healthy. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will test you. Life. And therefore, الدُّعَاء, your link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who the angel's mission in life was to protect him. The Prophet would say to the Sahaba, walk in front of me, you don't have to walk behind me. No one can harm me. The angels are behind me. Don't worry. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But yet, he would make dua to Allah. Asking Allah, I need you, Ya Allah. A'udhu bi nuri wajhika al-kareem. Oh Allah, I seek protection in the light of your face. And then the ashrafat bi nuri al-kulumat. That removes the darkness, Ya Allah. Allahu Akbar. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Allah, and you're too proud to ask Allah? You think because you're happy, you don't need to ask Allah? You think, oh, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as-du'a huwa al-ibad. Du'a is the essence of your worship. The one who isn't asking Allah for everything in their life, to increase it, and to protect it, and to honor it. The one who isn't connected to Allah with that surety of knowing Allah will answer them, they will be tested, and their iman will be shaken. The Prophet Muhammad says, اسألوا الله وأنتم يؤمنون بالإجابة. When you ask Allah, have in your heart, Allah will answer you. Even though it's a big thing, Zakariya alayhi salam, he's an old man. اشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. His hair had burnt off, he said. Burnt off into whiteness. His bones had weakened. His wife is old, never given birth. And he says, oh Allah, I want a son. Give me a son. When the angel Jibreel comes and says, okay, Allah gave you a son, he goes, how? Allah, you were asking for it. And now you say, how? Fiqh al-du'a. Ask for the things you think could never happen. They will happen. Zakariya, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen. Even Zakariya, the Prophet of Allah, is amazed. You sure? Yes, he will come. How will it happen? He keeps on questioning Jibreel until Jibreel says, كَذَلِكَ قَالَ رَبُّ. Your Lord said it will happen. It's going to happen. Stop asking why or how it will happen. And therefore, dua brings into life that which you are unable to bring into life yourself. Number 13, when it's time to change, change. When it's time to change, change. And it's one of those issues in life where sometimes we get stuck doing the same thing all the time. The same routine, day after day. And it's almost as if we get habitual in it. No, when it's time to change, when there is need, change. Don't be stuck in your ways. Don't say, this is what I learned, this is all I can do. Don't say, this is my only way of doing things. No, adapt yourself to change. And this was the way of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and all of the Sahaba who he built, who he raised up on their desire to change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the good or bad of a people until they make the change themselves. Allah will not change your condition until you change it. Until you make a movement towards that change. Number 14, the best is usually the simplest. Simple things. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi said, Allah desires from you the small deeds that are always done by you. Not the big deeds that you do once. Right? Two small good deeds all the time, the rest of your life, better for you than to do one good thing and never do anything again. The best of your life will be in those simple, recurring acts. The words of praise you inspire in your husband. The confidence that you build every day in your children. The building of your knowledge of the Quran and the Hadith gradually. One ayah a day, two ayah a day, three ayah a day. Gradual steps to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you build to becoming the best. And that was the habit of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 15, demand the best from others. Don't accept that someone just gives you enough. Even if it's your own husband, I know the brothers are going to get angry. But when you say it properly, don't say, no. I hope they're listening. Demand the best. It's not demand with your word, but demand with your actions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches us, you know, that to offer always the best to Allah, to our families, and therefore he talks about the relationship of a husband and wife as being khayrukum, the best of you. It's not just the Muslim of you, the best of you. Khayrukum bi ahli is the best in his relationship with his family, right? For husbands to their wives. So you must be demanding of that. That demand comes by you offering the same. This is how you demand. It's not you knock on, okay, I'm home now. Sheikh Yahya said, I need the best. The car is not the best. I need the best. No. Demand the best means you give the best. So you will receive the best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. To them is what you ask of them. What you want is what you give. Right? What you want from someone is what you give. And the Prophet ﷺ talks about this quality for the Muslim woman in particular. He says to me, to the men, تَزَوَّجُوا. Who should I choose in marriage? Who's the one that we see? الْوَدُودِ. A woman who is tender, loving. You feel in her how she was brought up, her manners, that she has softness, femininity. Wadood. Second, wadood, nurturing, that she will be nurturing to your children. She has an empathetic, soft side. Wadood, wadood. And then the third, aood, العود يعني تعود بالخير والمن. عود means that the good she receives, she returns greater than what she got. This is the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah seek to instill in the Muslim. That your husband says, I love you, you say, I love you very much. He says, Assalamu alaikum, you say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Whatever you receive, that your disposition, your personality is to exceed the favor shown to you. And then the Prophet describes the opposite of that in the hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. He says, of the reasons some of the women will enter hellfire, يَكْفُرْنَ الْعَشِيرَةِ They are ungrateful for the life that they have with their husband. They make kufr, ungrateful for the kindness shown. There isn't a resurgence of it and a return of it. So these are some of the elemental issues that we need to be on guard. Demand the best by receiving and giving the best. Number 16. It's a tough one. So forgive me. Guard your emotions. Allah, 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 make it easy. I hope this section, yani, I get out of here safe. Hold your emotions. Musa alayhi salam, Allah depicts an ayah in the Quran where Allah says, when remember we said Musa comes here, when the magician threw the snakes, Allah said, وَأَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيْفَةَ الْمُوسَى When Musa saw the snakes of all these magicians who threw the ropes and sticks, these Egyptian priests and magicians, Musa, أَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيْفَةً Musa got scared in himself. فِي نَفْسِهِ In himself. What does that mean? It means people looking at him, they couldn't tell he's scared. He held his emotion. أَوْجَسَ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِيْفَةً مُوسَى قُلْنَا لَا تَفَرْ Musa, stop being scared. وَأَلْقِ مَا فِي يَمِنْ Throw your stick, you'll see what happens. Hold your emotion. Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet she was taught by Rasulullah in more than one hadith how to hold her emotion. One time, as is narrated in Bukhari, an old woman, the Prophet is sitting in Aisha next to him. And an old woman comes, Aisha doesn't tell us her name. She hated her so much. She just called her the old woman. أتت العجوز يعني this old lady this old woman came سبت and she cursed me she said a bad word to me in front of Muhammad and Aisha she was you know giving to her I'll give her right back Aisha رضي الله عنها she says أنظرت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم I was going to answer her but I said to myself hold on let me look to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فرأيت في وجهه أنه يضع I saw in his face. If I spoke back to her, he would be upset. فتملكت نفسي. I held myself. It was tough. فذهبت ورجعت. She went on her business, came back. سبتني. She cursed me again in front of my husband. So I said, ah, خلاص, it's on now. فنظرت إلى I looked to his face, and I saw his face, no, no. He would be upset. So I was fine. That had a waraja, third time. Three strikes, you're out. She comes back. She says, I looked to the Prophet. I said, I'm going to cross. And I saw in his face, and then he would not be angry. I took victory. You know, nas. I destroyed her. Fadahabat wa lam tarj. She left and never came back. Right? But it shows you Aisha radiallahu anha. She controlled herself. The Prophet taught her to hold herself. Hold her tongue. Hold her emotion. Now, sisters, sometimes you go too far. Many brothers they say, Brother Shaykh, I don't know what's wrong. I say, what do you mean? They go and ask her, what's wrong? I don't know. She won't tell me. I said, how long? 3 weeks, Ya Allah. She doesn't talk. 3 weeks, she didn't talk to you. 3 weeks. Yes, didn't the Prophet say 3 days, Sheikh? Go talk to a woman. Talk to her. By Allah. By the honor of the Prophet, I said that by your love for Allah, go talk to her. I say, what do you want me to say? He goes, the only thing I want is to find out why. She won't even tell me why. I come visit their home. I say, sister, what's happening? She goes, you should know. I said, look, tell me, I'll tell him. Now this is where the sisters, sometimes you guys go a little bit too far. She said, I can't remember what it is, but he knows what it is. I said, Allahu Akbar. So it's been so long you've forgotten yourself, and you just go with it? Yes. She goes, it's not what he did, it's how he made me feel. Yes, you're the sister. Yes. Because the way you guys think is different to the way we think. If my wife has a car accident, when she rings me, what happens? If I ask my friend, if I ask another man, he'll say, I was driving, a dog ran on the road, I hit a tree. Hello. Now he asks my wife, what happened? Well, I was feeling very emotional from the morning. I said, okay. And, I had this really terrible phone call. I said, yeah, but I'm asking about the car accident, not your morning. I know, but I'm telling you what happened. I said, no, what happened at the time of the accident? I know, I'm getting to that. I'm going to tell you what happened. I said, okay, tell me what happened. So then I said, after that phone call, I had to call my sister. So I spoke to Rabia for half an hour, and she made me feel better. And then I told her, okay, I said, yeah, Ukhti, what happened to the car? She goes, I'm going to tell you. Just wait. Listen to what happened. You, sisters, think with emotion. You connect things with emotion. You don't connect things with facts, which is a problem we have with you. Because we're thinking about the facts. A plus B equals C. But you say A had emotions, and B was sensitive, and C had a friend, which made D. We don't know where this came from. Huh? Emotion, you have to restrain it, you have to hold it. One of the reasons we find a lot of difficulty at times and strife is lack of communication, or communication at the wrong times. Right? Instead of saying what you want in a way that can be understood by the other person, sometimes you come to tell your husband a story, like this long story that I would hear, and he's, why are you telling me this? I just want to know this. And you get upset that he's not listening to you. But you're not talking to him. That's the problem. Right? Restraining. Sometimes you have to hold your emotion. Sometimes you have to also release your emotion. Sisters, I always tell the brothers, when there's arguments, men are very bold, and sometimes we try, some men, they're a bit loud. Ah! Okay. And then the sister goes quiet. She's like a submarine underwater. He doesn't know there's torpedoes in the water. Nuclear war has started. He's swimming, doesn't know that, like my Shireen worried about fish. No, there's torpedoes, brother. Right? So you put these torpedoes in the water and your poor husband, Ya Haram, he doesn't know what's coming. Because you're under, down, he doesn't see the battle carrier. He doesn't see the danger. Take it easy on your husband. Okay? Don't start nuclear war without, shoot a warning shot. Say, I'm unhappy because of this. It makes life much easier, right? to express it sometimes and make things easier. Don't worry, I'll talk to the brothers about how to help you express yourself in Shabbat. All right, don't tell my wife I talked to you about the car accident. Number 17, love what you do. And one of the ways to find happiness in our life is to love what you do. And you might say, Brother Yahya, I don't love what I'm doing now. But in everything in life, there will be something you love and something you hate. Whether it's your studies or being at home with the children or whatever it is, there will always be moments you love and moments you hate. Begin to shift yourself to enjoy the adventures and the difficulties. You know, I wrote an article, it's called The Sunnah of Love, about the Prophet and his life with Aisha. You can Google it, inshallah. The Sunnah of Love. And I'm saying in it that love can manifest itself in changing diapers. My wife, she loved me because I changed diapers at night. She would say, this is one of the reasons I love you. Why? What did I do? What's so special? You changed the diapers. At 2 in the morning, instead of waking me, you did it. Allahu Akbar. Right? Who knew that love was in changing poopy diapers? But there it is. Right? If you were to ask someone who's not yet married, what are the things that you're going to love in your wife and your husband? You never say, oh, I'm going to love, he's going to change smelly diapers in the middle of the night. But that becomes the reason. All of a sudden, the love, it's no longer, you know, oh, I love you, SMSs and all this stuff. It's, can you bring sugar? We need some more onions at home. Can you drop by the shop? And then a little, I love you. That's where you find love, right? So it changes. It changes from one thing to another. So look for the things that will make you happy. Learn to love some things that you never expected you would love. Love what you do. Seek passion in whatever it is that you seek. Now the last three are linked to each other, so I'm going to say them together. Number 18, 19, and 20 is forget the past. Number 18, forget the past. 19, ignore the future. Don't focus on the future. So forget the past. Ignore the future. Live the present. Live the present. Don't dwell in the past. If I had done this, if I had studied this degree, if I had married this person, if I had done this, if I had made that decision. No, that statement is from the words of the Prophet ﷺ, لو had I, if I had done this instead of this, this is the statement of the shaytan. No, focus on now. And don't plan too much the future. Don't say, you know, there was one couple, they said, Sheikh, we want you to do our wedding. I said, when? MashaAllah, soon. No, we're going to get married April 2016. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, they said, make sure you're free. 2016? How is that possible? Looking into such perspective, it's good to be goal-oriented, but still, look to where you are today. Plan what you're doing today. Look to what you will do for the afterlife. Don't become so fixated and rigid about your future that you become blinded to opportunities in the dunya. Don't say, no, only this. Because in 10 years, this is what will happen. No, perhaps there is more than not one route to that happiness that you seek in 2 or 1 or 3 or 4 or 5 years' time. Don't become fixated on a particular aim or goal that you cannot envision your life without. And in particular, I say to my sisters who are not yet married, don't have this idealized view
you know, Prince Charming. He has to be like, you know, his skin has to be Nescafe. One sister, she said, brother, my daughter, you want someone, you know, yani Nescafe. I said, what do you mean Nescafe? She said, not chocolate, not latte, but Nescafe. I don't understand. What do you mean? She said, it's skin. Allahu Akbar. So if a nice man comes, maybe he's latte, not cappuccino. You're going to say no. Allahu Akbar. You have to think. Another question to you, Brother Yahya. You have to talk to me. About what? One of my students at university. About what? Brother, I love him. Okay. And my parents hate him. And talk to my parents. About what? Not to hate him. I said, but they hate him. She said, change their mind. Please, Chef. How am I going to change their mind? Why do they hate him? Is his skin... No, I didn't. Why do they hate him? What's wrong with him? They said, well, he doesn't have an education. I said, no, it's not the end of the world. I said, does he have a job? No. I said, oh. Does he come from like a trust fund? He has lots of money or something? He doesn't have a job? What's he going to do? No, brother, he doesn't. I say, okay. And how is he going to live? She said, well, we'll live with my parents at first. I said, but they hate him. She said, yes, that's why I want you to talk to them. Allahu Akbar. How? I love him. How do you love him? No, you love your parents more than you love him. You might love something now. For the unmarried sisters. For the married ones, don't say anything. Okay? But for the unmarried sisters, everything you marry your husband for, you're going to resent after you marry him. Gonna hate it. He comes to you in a nice car, nice clothes, smelling nice. Coming from work, he was working till 6 late. You say, oh, mashallah. He came straight from work, 6 o'clock at night. We made him some food, and he still looks sharp and smells, mashallah, mashallah. I love this. Then you get married. Why are you here at 6 o'clock? Why are you late? I'm not late. Even when I came to marry you, I came at 6. Everybody else comes at 5. Why are you at 6? Well, it's the job. Why are you dressed like that? What do you mean? This is the same suit I wore when I first came to see you. Who are you trying to look good for? Why are you smelling nice? Who are you smelling nice for? Allahu Akbar. Oh, I got a promotion. Why? Because, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, the nice car you like? We have payments. You like that? Yes. Why do you have it? I know, I don't want it anymore. The image you have changes. All of a sudden, the man you love, who's coming late, why are you late? Why are you dressed? Why are you doing this? All of these are things that previously, he will also look at you, sister. Don't be upset now. The brother said, oh, mashallah, she's beautiful. She is this, and then, yani, marriage, children, years, right? Things change. Don't be upset now. This is the reality. So the things he thought he married you for are no longer there. But he married you for this image, for this. Not there. Then what happens? You have to find love in poopy nappies. Right? That's where the love is, in a grocery list. I love, oh, I love you. She said that beside the onions. This is Wow. Well, then you find real love, the reason for love. And that's why when, you know, I love him, brother, I say, you don't love him. You don't know him to love him. No. So you have to have the up, inshallah. So those three things are tied together. We end with them, inshallah. Don't focus on the past, mistakes, happiness loss, difficulties, whatever it is. Live in the moment. Don't seek the future too much, because لا يعلم الغيب إلا الله. No one knows the future except Allah. No one knows the aim and the plan and the faith that is for you except Allah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the best of faith and the best of qadr, and makes easy our journey in this dunya so that we arrive at the splendor of Jannah. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yadeemu alaykum ni'ma, that He completes His favor and grace upon you, and that you feel the joy, and that you keep it and appreciate it and retain it, and that the sorrow is mitigated by your hope and your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors all of us who were with us here today in the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the following of his example. Allahumma ameen. And I pray you a safe return home, inshaAllah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, with that, we'll talk and for those who are comfortable, please let me ask you love, and there are lines for you to just read your hands. So, any questions at all?
The greatest dua that a believer should be habitual with, barakallahu fihi, is the dua that was recited in Salat al-Isha by the Imam, who had a wonderful voice, mashallah, which is Rabbana, our Lord, آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Our Lord, give us good in the dunya and good in the akhirah, and protect us from hellfire. This dua is a dua al-jami'. It is the most comprehensive dua taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who have gone to make hajj, when they follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their tawaf around the Kaaba, the thing that you say the most is that dua, because it is the dua that is for the dunya and in the akhirah. As for our families in particular, near the end of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. Our Lord, give us from our families and our children that which will please us. Let us see from them that which will make us happy. Also from the dua of the Prophet, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O Allah, keep me regular in prayer, and that, and let my children learn this from me and be habitual in the salah. These three dua are the dua that put happiness in our home, inshaAllah ta'ala. Also to regularly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
for istighfar. And istighfar blesses us with children and increases our wealth and prevents our harm. Allahumma amin. Dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam.
So perhaps
when
you get chapter
3,
the three
du'a, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, from Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O Allah, bless us and our children, our families, with that which will please us. And also the dua of Nabi Dilani Ibrahim in Surah Ibrahim and also in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. O Allah, keep me and also my children and those who come after me established and regular in our prayers. Allah.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you for your question. Perhaps for the next one, inshallah, if you're ready, I'll be taking three questions at a time before including the answer. But I'm also getting questions already on the phone. So perhaps we can start with the three then.
Yes, okay.
The first one says, Shaykh Khamikum, is there such a thing that a person is not meant to be happy at all in this world?
No, this is an impossibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuridu Allahu bikum wal yusr. Allah wishes for you facility and comfort and happiness in life. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. And Allah does not wish you distress. And Allah says in the beginning of Surah Al-Taha, طَاهَا مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ مِنْ أَشْرَارِ. This Qur'an was not sent to give you distress, meaning it was sent to relieve your distress and bring you happiness. Right? The intent of the Qur'an, لِتَسْعَدْ, so that you can become happy. Now,
The next one is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages of mixed marriage. Does that stay only for men? I think this refers to perhaps that was in the kitab of the books. My mother in particular discourages being friends out of our religion, meaning be friends by friend, I mean boyfriend. So how do I make you see or accept my relationship just as it is now and not as the rules to be? I don't know what my future will be, but I still want my mother's blessing.
Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us the path of life, and that's the word sharia. The word sharia means our path in life. It's like sharia, a way to walk in life. And this path on its sides, on the right of it and the left of it, is a cliff. That if a person makes the wrong turn, they fall over. And they can find it very difficult to come back to the path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ أَنْ يُضِلَّكُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. The shaytan wants you to fall off the path so that you don't know how to get back. That you fall off and you don't know which way to go. And one of the ways that the shaytan dissuades us is that he makes our heart's desire not what Allah desires for us. That your hawa becomes the thing that gives you guidance rather than receiving the guidance from Allah. So Allah warns us of this in the Quran. أَرَأَيْتَ مِنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen the condition, Ya Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, O Ummah Muhammad, of the one who has made his desire his God? I love someone. But Allah tells me, no, I cannot accept that. If I choose what my heart wants at a moment in time, that moment may not last. And that happiness or what I think of love may not be there a week later, a month later, a phone call later. Sometimes it's just a phone call later. Sometimes it's not even a phone call, it's an SMS later. Sometimes you hear he went with this person or met this person, and all of a sudden it shatters one's life. What Allah wants is what is easy for us, which is to live a clean, upright, just life. You will find that with someone who joins you in it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, so I say to my brothers and sisters, I don't say this just to the Muslims. I say this to Muslim men as well as to Muslim women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَعَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ خَيْرٌ مُشْرِكٌ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبٌ. Allah says, and a slave, someone who doesn't even own their own freedom, a slave is better for you if they are a believer than a master if they are a mushrik, an unbeliever. That's the answer that I give for this question, inshaAllah. Wallahu ta'ala.
One question. Perhaps if I could expound, to clarify the question on whether allowing a marriage within people of hope is limited to only men.
And so the question is, that's a different question?
Or that's the same question, but perhaps that's a...
Okay. So our Sharia has specific rules to marry outside our faith. For us to discuss the fiqh in an honest way, I would need too much time. And it would not be serving justice to the word of Allah if I just give you a one answer, 1 minute, 2 minute answer. Yes, there are provisions in Islam that allow a Muslim man to marry a woman of the book under certain conditions and under certain restraints, and these things we don't have time to discuss now. But inshallah, if someone wants something detailed about that, they can email me and I will forward them a thorough research on that, inshallah.
Perhaps you can share the email?
Yes, inshallah. My email, very easy. Yahya Ibrahim at Hotmail, Gmail, Yahoo. I have them all.
So it's YAHYAIBRAHIM.
No.
Okay.
Hotmail, Gmail, yeah. Anyone.
Okay. So I'll be taking up the floor now.
Yes. Now, Surah Sad. Surah Sad is
item in the Tanakh. So, this is the one asking Surah that stumbled for the nafs and the home. So, it's Surah Sad. Any
Yes. So point number 20, knowing when to quit. Right? The sister asked a very good question. You know, in our life, sometimes we're pursuing something and it seems like the doors are closing and we don't know if we should just back away and give up. When should we do that? If it is something for Allah, never stop. If it is something for yourself, ask those who can give you sincere advice. So for example, if someone is saving money to go to Hajj, and every year they want to go to Hajj and they just don't have enough, you know, you have to keep going, it's for Allah. Someone wants to memorize the Quran, it's difficult, it's been 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, don't give up, keep going, because it's for Allah, it's ibadah. But things in the dunya that are restricted by expertise of others, financial constraints, you know, matters of that, take the advice of those who are experts in the field. For sisters, for example, sometimes a sister will come and say, "Brother Yahya, I've been trying to have a child." And it's very demoralizing that every time we go through a cycle and we do in vitro, that it doesn't happen.
Brother Yahya, when should we give up? I said, I can't answer. You have to answer. He goes, but when? I said, do you still have money? Yes. Do you still have desire? Yes. There's your answer. Do you have money? No. There's your answer. Do you have money? Yes. Do you have desire or too much emotion? Halas. I can't take another time. Halas. Stop. Right? So the decisions have to be your own. But the advice can be solicited by experts and people whom you trust. And that's one of the reasons I said you have to look around you. You have to listen to what other people say. Don't ever go it alone. It's not just do it, but just do it with others, those who will help you achieve the goal, inshallah.
If there is no more question from the floor, I'm going to start reading all these questions that are up to me. And inshallah, for you, if you stay around, these questions are very interesting. So, it will be helpful for us to our questions. Any one last one from the floor? We have a bit of slight differences. Don't worry, I will be limiting my time to more than 15 to 20 minutes. So, of course, please stay and listen to questions. Okay, I'll start very quickly. How could a woman approach a man following the right belief?
For marriage.
It's
actually quite simple.
Okay.
When someone is interested in marriage, when a sister is interested in marriage from a brother, she speaks to her wedding, her representative, who then speaks to the brother. It could be her father, it could be her brother, it could be her uncle, it could be someone who she speaks through. And this is something that is acceptable in Islam, was done by the Sahaba, and is something that should not be a cultural, non-issue. Rather, when someone is of good khuluq and good deed, and someone is of means, and he is a good catch, as they say, then you have to fish him in, right? You have to throw the line and get your wedding, inshallah, involved. But as for a sister contacting a brother directly, this can be an enormous source of fitna and an enormous source of inappropriate behavior. Tolerate. We have to be very careful with these things. Now, I know in certain cultures there's a little bit more freedom in terms of, a young man and a young sister that they get to know each other and things like that, with the approval of the wali. Without the approval of the wali, it is dangerous and, in my opinion, unacceptable.
Thanks. And we have a combined two questions here.
Sure.
It's saying here, how do you let go of the dunya in reference to the Ta'am Ghurur, I'm not sure what that means, but the Ta'am Ghurur, like Shagan shared this, meaning we are so caught up in the world that we are afraid to let go. And I'm going to connect that to another question that I thought, which says something along the lines of how do we learn to stop ourselves from finding happiness and enjoying things in this world that may not be, that are forbidden in Islam.
No. Anything that is forbidden, now when I use that word forbidden, it means Allah has forbidden. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand the beauty of our faith. That which is done with Allah's permission brings true happiness. That which is done outside Allah's permission, even if it's the same act, brings distress, even if there is a moment or a taste of happiness. And therefore, it's important for us to separate between two things. Our desire and fulfilling our desire in the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. There are only two types of sin. Every haram, it's only two things really. It's either shubha or shahwa. Doubt about Allah or unrestrained the world.
Someone is doubtful of Allah, so they don't do something. The person who doesn't wake up for Fajr, the reason they don't wake up for Fajr is they don't really believe in Allah. They doubt Allah. They doubt Jannah. They doubt Jahannam. If they believed in Jahannam, they would wake up. As the Prophet ﷺ said, they would crawl to the masjid for their prayer. But because they don't believe completely, they kind of believe. There's doubt. While the one who commits adultery, it's not because he doubts Allah, it's because of shahwa. I have desire, I'm going to fulfill halas. It doesn't matter what anyone says. Allah said, someone, you know, even people of power and authority, you think to yourself, how could, you know, someone so great, so learned, doctor, president of countries, President Clinton, how could you? Shahwa. Blinded to the reality of life. So those are the two things. So when we say things that are haram, there are many things that are haram that bring joy, but the joy is only momentary. And when that momentary joy finishes, there is shame and sadness and hiding from that which is right and not wanting other people to know of one's shame. While when something is done in halal and something is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing, it is something that is a source of pride and there is complete and utter happiness because of it, inshaAllah. The first question is also important in the sense that it's important for us as Muslims to find comfort in that which is our culture and our deen, our religion. Sometimes we try to take on what we see happening in other parts of the world. You know, when I said YOLO earlier, everyone knows what that is. You know, you only live once, you gotta enjoy your life, you know, even when you look at some of the things that target us in the media, do it to the max. You gotta do the do, you know, it's not even a dream, right? Do it to the max, jump off a bridge, you know. It's like, whoa, you gotta enjoy, don't let a moment go by. Seize the moment, yes, okay, but not at the expense of the akhirah. And the dunya is mata'ul ghurur. There is deception in its beauty. Meaning everything that you think you want, when you get it, you understand it was a mirage. Now, I want to end the night on a good note. We'll end with this question, inshallah. Yeah, alright? When you wake up, I want you to listen. When we wake up in our grave on the day of judgment, you're going to wake up. You're going to think your whole life was a dream, was a mirage. And you're going to stand on the day of judgment and you will whisper to others. You will say, Allah says, you will say to each other, how long were we asleep for? Because in Surah Yasin, من بعثنا من مقر Who woke us up? هذا ما وعد الرحمن This is Allah's promise. You're going to wake up. The 80 years of your life, 60, 70, 80 years, in comparison to the one day of 50,000 years, is like you had a nap. And you woke up. Allah tells you in the Quran that every time you come to something that you think is the source of happiness. It is a mirage that has deceived you. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ فَوَفَّاهُ عِسَابَ But you find Allah there and will give you your reward or punishment. So you come to a moment in your life and on the akhirah, Allah will say to you, this is what you actually received. Here is the reward for that marriage. Here is the punishment for that relationship. Here is the reward for that action, for that salah. Here is the punishment for the riba, for the sinfulness. Because what you see, it appeared to be permanent, but it was only temporary. It was deception. Every day of your life, you wake up knowing that the real life, my dear sisters in Islam, is the next life. Does that mean I shouldn't have any happiness? No, you should have lots of happiness. And you should plan for tomorrow. And you should seize the day. And you should work hard. But always in that path. Don't fall off the cliff. Don't move with the shaitan. Don't follow his steps. Because he will push you over the edge. And you won't know how Allah protect us to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life we live is transient. The Prophet Muhammad said, what do I have for this dunya? I am a traveler, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he used to carry a stick. He wasn't needing a stick. He had good legs, no problem. And people asked him, ya Imam, why do you carry that stick? He said, to remind me I'm on a journey. Allahu Akbar. Compare that, you know, the Imam upstairs in Jumu'ah tomorrow, he's going to hold the stick. Because Imam al-Shafi'i, right? He's doing it because Imam al-Shafi'i did it. Why did Imam al-Shafi'i do it? Because, not because it's a stick, not in routine. He did it because he's a traveler. He was, you know, this is my journey. I need a stick to carry me to the end of my journey. It's like I'm a hiker up a mountain. And Allah tells you, you are climbing a mountain. Dhil ma'arij, Surah Al-Ma'arij, what does it mean? You are making an ascent up this difficult mountain of the dunya. May Allah allow us to reach the top, which enters into Jannah al-Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the words and our actions here today, and makes you and I from those who are successful in our dunya and in the akhirah, and protect us from Jahannam. Jazakumullah khair. I am honored to have been with you, and I pray that I get to see you in other moments and other times. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله اللهم
Okay, some questions. For those who have asked many of these questions, some of you can tend to see in a chat or young lady looking at email, Yahoo, whatever, etc. It's all free. We want to know how much. Very, very much. Thank you for coming. Thank you.